But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter unto a full day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our blessed Savior said in the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. As chaos and violence erupt and multiply around the world, and the servicemen of this great nation risk being put in harm's way again, we can do no better now, as always, than to turn to our Eucharistic Lord. He is the answer to every problem, the source of all true strength. He, our Lord and our God. The answer to every great question is the Blessed Sacrament. He is desired with an ardent desire to give us this saving victim, this heavenly bread, his very self. He came to do so that we might be united to him forever. As it is the reason for his life, it is the answer also to our life. Where may we turn in fear and anxiety? Where may we find at last peace? We may turn to the altar to receive this heavenly bread. Yet if we would only receive it well and truly. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. This verse from the book of Proverbs illustrates our progress in the Christian life. From the moment of our baptism, our blessed Savior earnestly, even infinitely desires that our growth in virtue, our growth into his own fullness, be like the cresting of the rising sun over the horizon, the light and heat of his grace growing within us with every good work. But perhaps a great anxiety might itself dawn in our hearts on this high feast of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Our Catholic faith teaches us that this sacrament is admirable or extraordinary, as St. Thomas calls it in today's collect, because while every other sacrament only produces a grace in us, this Most Blessed Sacrament is the very author of grace himself. One of the axioms that St. Thomas Aquinas repeats again and again throughout his great works is that the closer we draw to the source of some good, the more we experience its wonderful effect. Here we are at the altar, and we could barely imagine anything closer than our union with Jesus Christ in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Here is a veritable ocean of graces that is poured out upon us at every Holy Mass, at every Holy Communion. And yet, how strange would it be to see a stone fall in the water and produce no waves? How strange would it be to see cymbals clang together and emit no sound? To see if a thing could be a burning flame that gave no light. How likewise strange would it be to see a Catholic receive Holy Communion and bear no fruit? We are confronted with the most embarrassing of cases for us as Catholics. The author of all grace visits us as often as we would like. How is it then that we are not yet saints? Surely we might respond as we should, that our progress is sometimes necessarily slow, that our spiritual lives must follow the progression that all of creation does, a progression of growth, of patience and expectation. Our salvation unfolds at our Lord's pace, yes. But can each of us say to our Eucharistic Lord this morning, in all truth, that we have truly done enough to prepare for his presence in our hearts? My esteemed confrere, our pastor, spoke at length about the proper dispositions for Holy Communion last Thursday. But I would like to focus with you on this curious and unfortunate fact of so many of our lives, what we call in theology remiss acts of charity. What is a remiss act of charity? First, let us recall the image of the rising sun, the sacred image from Proverbs of our growth in divine charity. God wills our constant sanctification. St. Paul says it explicitly to the Thessalonians. He will therefore give each of us opportunities to grow greatly and far more rapidly than any of us could dream, to grow in the ways of his grace. If only we would correspond with the graces he sends us. A remiss act of charity is an imperfect act of charity that is less than what I am capable of, that is less than what my spiritual being can do. Let us imagine that a generous benefactor gave to me $100,000 to build the most worthy statue of St. Joseph that money could buy. I promptly went about my work, but only taking $50,000. I produced a marvelous work, let us say of marble with gold embellishment, put this statue on display, and it was indeed of great beauty. The other $50,000 I burnt in the courtyard. This beautiful statue lacks nothing. It is good on its own. But by the generosity of my benefactor, it could have, and indeed, it should have been better. There is nothing wrong with the statue, but it does not measure up to the greatness of the gift. When I do good things as a Christian, but half-heartedly, with deliberate imperfections and coldness of heart, I commit remiss acts of charity. That is to say, I do less with the spiritual wealth that God has given me than I could have done. Perhaps I give to the poor, maybe very generously, but with great attachment to human respect. Perhaps I volunteer generously with my time, but seeking also a bit of myself rather than the good of my neighbor. Perhaps I study the truths of our faith and the finer points of philosophy, but with only one eye on our Lord and the other eye on my self-satisfaction. The great Father Garrigou-Lagrange says that our remiss or negligent acts of charity are indeed meritorious, but it is as though the increase in charity, the increase in holiness, in divine love that they should normally win for us, is held suspended, waiting for us to be properly disposed to receive them. God is ready to increase our glory, but we are holding him back by the weakness of our response. Now let us imagine our Holy Communions. If we have fought only weakly our venially sinful tendencies, they remain a true impediment to growth. If we have been distracted through our own fault, venially vain, disordered though minor affections for a man or a woman, if we have been selfish, lacking hope, abandonment, and trust, permitting even slight judgments of our neighbor to darken our heart, if we continue to carry these and so many other spiritual weights, minor though they may be, weights that we have yet to lay before the altar and destroy in the confessional and in our lives, we prevent the Lord of life from widening our hearts to receive the new influx of life and love that he so earnestly wishes to pour therein with every Holy Communion. How can we prevent the many, many graces at our disposal from going to waste? It starts long before we kneel in our pew here at the shrine. It begins with a humble prayer for an increase in our Lord's divine love. It also begins by the humble, but genuine, and often courageous embrace of the duties of our state in life. It is by the humble practice of the little virtues, so dear to our patron, St. Francis de Sales, patience, gentleness, meekness, generous forgiveness, diligently performing our chores or our work, looking kindly on our neighbor at all times, and praying for him. It is a loving cycle that develops. Our generosity at home will win us great graces here at the altar, which in turn will make us holier at home and at work, for we carry the Lord of life with us. Remember the example of our Queen, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. The doctors of the Church tell us that our Blessed Mother grew exponentially in divine charity without ceasing. And why? What we have called a remiss or negligent act of charity never darkened her Immaculate Heart. Every grace that was given to Our Lady was used by her with humble gratitude and courageous diligence. Our Lady might say with the psalmist, "I have run the way of thy commandments when thou didst enlarge in my heart." Indeed, at every moment of her life, she repaid love for love and grew from strength to divine strength. There was no divine call, great or small, that did not find its faithful echo in Our Lady's heart. Let us pray, therefore, to our Immaculate Queen, Mother of the Sacred and Eucharistic Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might always honor his real presence, and that we might truly profit by it, with hearts widened and well-disposed to receive the Author of life, the true love and center of our hearts. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.